Amen. God is so good to us. God is so very, very good. For those of you that haven't been with us, we've been talking on the armor of God. That's the reason for this guy standing up here. But if you happen to visit the church in the evening and you're walking through, he's going to look like a skeleton man for Halloween. So I'm not really sure about what message he's sending. I guess it depends on the time of day. Before I start on today's message, which is pretty much applicable to everybody sitting here, because who doesn't want peace in their life? I'm sure many of us have spent late nights, early mornings, or perhaps wringing our hands, perhaps worried, not knowing what to do. And I hope there's something that I say today that'll make a difference in your life and in the life of your family. If you happen to have a piece of paper or if you want to use your bulletin, please jot down a few notes. The armor of God. Why do we need the armor of God? Well, we need the armor of God so we're able to stand against all strategies or schemes that the devil throws at us, and they are many. Discouragement is one of them. Believing that sin is fun and that we're supposed to experiment in it for a season of our life. Believing the lie that we cannot change. Our fears, our insecurities. And I can go on and on and on. The first piece of equipment that we looked at was the belt. We called it the belt of truth. And the Roman soldiers wore this at all times because it marked or identified who they are. And so it is true for the Christian. We put on truth around our waist, in particular the truth about our Savior, Jesus Christ. What you believe about truth today determines how you will live your life on this earth and in the next life to come. Next, we looked at the breastplate of righteousness. You and I are made right through the Lord Jesus Christ. We acquire the righteousness of Christ when we turn from our sin or when we repent. But we have to learn to put on Christ's righteousness and leave our own self-righteousness at the door, if you will. Because so often we live our Christian life in a self-righteous nature, having that around us, and not the breastplate of righteousness or Jesus Christ. Today's piece of equipment we're going to talk about goes on our feet. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Ephesians 6 says, "For shoes, put on peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared." It's kind of ironic, but the people that have the most amount of money are the people that seem to have the least amount of peace in their life. And my heart goes back to Michael Jackson. I felt he was a wonderful, wonderful musician, just a wonderful talent. And I'm not here to decide whether you like him or dislike him or anything like that. But here was a man that seemingly had everything. He was so gifted, but he couldn't sleep at night. He couldn't fall asleep without a doctor administering a drug to him, which eventually took his life. And there's kind of an irony, if you will, about Hollywood. When I was studying this message, I read an article about Nick Cannon. He originally hosted America's Got Talent. Any of you familiar with that? Yeah, that's kind of a neat show. And he wanted to make an impression on the audience, so he had a pair of shoes made that had 340 carats of diamonds in them. They cost $2 million. Can you imagine? But the type of peace I want to talk to you about is the type of peace that Horatio Spafford possessed in his life. when his life was so altered by so many things, the death of a son, the tragic fire in Chicago, and then he sends his wife on a vacation and his daughter pass away. And it was out of that tragedy that he went back and took a liner, and the captain told him that it was right about this place that his family had passed away. And he went down to his cabin, and the first line of the hymn he wrote was this: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll." And of course, he was looking out at the sea and the billows rolling. But do you know those two emotions really do not go together? Sorrow rolling through our life and peace. But they do for the Christian. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that today. We know we are going to experience sorrows and hardships in our life. But you and I need to remember that we are not a people without hope. Reading from John 14. "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. There are more than enough rooms in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I'm coming to get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I'm going." Thomas said, "We have no idea where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is the gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." Pray with me. God, I ask you now to open up our hearts and our minds for us to receive what you're speaking to us today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You and I hear about peace all the time, and I think the one area it's talked about the most, of course, is in the Middle East. We want peace for our world. Of course, we want peace at home. And relatively, we live in a very peaceful country. We don't have to be overly concerned about attacks of terrorism. Of course, our minds always go back to 9/11 that happened, and we just celebrated that about a week ago. But most of the time, I feel safe, I feel secure in my country. But I don't know about you, but sometimes our lives just seem to spiral out of control. And perhaps there are people sitting here today under the sound of my voice who suffer from depression, anxiety, PTSD. The concept of peace seems like something someone dreams about. But I want to encourage you to stay the course, to not give up, no matter how desperate you become in your life. Because through the Holy Spirit, God can come and bring healing. Don't quit your medicine. Don't stop going to counseling. But combine all of these things together, and God will begin to work in your life. Stay the course, if you will. If you had to paint a picture of peace, I'm sure people have a picture of peace in their mind or a picture of peace they have in their living room. For me, I like to sit in front of the ocean. That's very, very peaceful. Or to be in the Caribbean and look at the ocean. But I read a story about a king who offered a prize to an artist who could paint the best picture of peace. And the king narrowed it down to two pictures. The first picture was just of a very calm lake that almost reflected like a mirror. And there were mountains in the background. When I think of this picture, I think of Lake Tahoe, perhaps. There were mountains in the background, and overhead was the blue sky with the puffy clouds. And the other picture had mountains too, but the sky was filled with lightning. It was almost like it was an angry sky. You've seen the skies. And it was raining, and the mountains looked ragged and rough. But as the king looked at this picture, he saw a rough waterfall flowing down, and behind the rough waterfall, he saw this little bird in a nest sitting peaceably amidst this large storm. And the king chose that picture because he said, peace means to be in the midst of all those things and still be calm in your heart. That's the real meaning of peace. And that's the type of peace I want you and I to grasp today. Before the Lord Jesus Christ left, he told us many things that would happen to us. Those of you that perhaps are part of the Romans Bible study are getting a little bit of a picture of how hard it was to live back then because of the brutality of Rome. And Jesus said this in John 16, I have told you all this so that you'll have peace in me. Here on earth, you're going to have many trials and sorrow, but take heart because I have overcome the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ has overcome the world. The Greek word for peace is eirene. And I have a wonderful definition that's given for Christians. And I want you to listen to it. It's the tranquil state of the soul assured of its salvation through Christ, fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot. Now, I know you can't remember that, but I'm going to go over some points about that in a few minutes in the service. I don't know if you realize that peace is given to us through the Holy Spirit when we accept Christ. The last verse I read in John 14 said, I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace is a gift to every single believer. And like the definition says, it's the calm assurance of the soul. And that's what Spafford and his wife had, the calm assurance of the soul. No matter what happened in their life, they were going to be okay. They may have felt sorrow and grief, but they were at peace. Many people who do not possess the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ or this gift in their life, they fall apart and they fall to pieces when tragedy, great tragedy, comes upon them. I want to go over a few of the tenets of that definition and look at a closer look at why we may not have peace in our life. We need to look at what kind of shoes basically we're wearing and where we're going with those shoes. I see the youth looking at their shoes, so they're holding them up for me. So those of you that are in the back that cannot see these gestures, they're helping me with my message. The first point I want to tell you is that, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Are you assured of your salvation in Christ? And that's the greatest gift you can have, is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. But I think the second greatest gift you can have is the peace of God reigning in your life. But as I started to study that, I know most Christians don't possess the peace of God in their life. And I read an article written by a woman entitled, Why the Second Half of the story matters. And she spoke of how she accepted the Lord Jesus Christ at the age of 8. She knew she was a Christian. She knew Jesus Christ had died for her. She confessed her sins. But her life never reflected the life of Jesus Christ. She said she continued to sin. She hated herself for sinning. She hated herself for the fact that she failed God. She said she just could not be good enough to prove her worth for what he had done. And that's how a lot of Christians live their life. They go through this cycle of ups and downs. If they've had a good day and they feel like they haven't sinned, then they feel God loves them. If they've had a bad day and they've sinned, they feel like they're not loved by God, and they don't feel worthy of God's love. That's a terrible, terrible place to be in your life, not to feel like you're worthy of God's love, because we all are worthy of God's love. She said this verse, 20 years later, she had this revelation that the Holy Spirit gave her, and it's found in Colossians 2:6. And you and I know this, but we just don't practice this. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus our Lord, so walk in him. And she said to herself, how did I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord? And once again, those of you in the Romans Bible study should shout out, it's through faith, Pastor Chris, that I received the Lord Jesus Christ. But she stopped using her faith at that point and made it a game of being good or trying to earn her salvation or trying to work for her salvation. And that's where we lose the battle. Is if we try to prove our salvation. We can never earn our salvation. We can never become good enough for our salvation. But Christ declares us worthy. Christ declares us worthy. And he calls us his sons and his daughters. And I'm so thankful for that. So if you've found yourself in this position, continue to press on and ask God to help you in your faith journey. You can't be good enough. And the next reason why we perhaps don't achieve this peace is that we have on the shoes of contention. Shoes of contention are just disagreement, disputes, arguments. We always have to be right. If we're not right, then we feel this churning taking place deep within the gut of our stomach, and we start to get upset. All of us know people like that. And if we know people like that, we try not to send bullets or arrows to them that are going to cause them to fly off. I think at every family gathering, there's this person that comes in with the shoes of contention. Here comes Uncle Bill. Quit talking about politics. Don't bring up religion. Uncle Bill's here. Because they wear the shoes of contention. God tells us that blessed are the peacemakers in Matthew 5. If we choose not to walk in peace with people, how can we possibly expect to have peace? If you go in a rage when someone cuts you off on the freeway, if someone takes your parking space, if your kids don't get the grades that you thought they should get. The next reason is, and it was part of the definition that I gave for peace, is that we're not content with where we are in this life. Never content with anything. We're always looking for something or always planning that next vacation or that great trip in our life. There always has to be like a party atmosphere going on, or we just don't have contentment and we don't have peace. It seems like those two things go hand in hand. There's a story in Matthew 20 that tells about a mother, and she's the mother of James and John, who are both disciples of Jesus Christ. I mean, they're one of the 12. But that's not good enough for them or for this mother. And it really bothers me that these grown men have their mom go ask Jesus this. I will never get over that as long as I live. Guys in the church, don't send your mom to ask me something, because immediately I'm going to go to Matthew 20. But anyway, she goes and she asks Jesus, and she says, "Can my two sons sit on your left side and your right side?" And Jesus says, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to suffer what I'm suffering? Are you able to go through what I'm going through?" We look at other people's lives and we think they're better than ours, but we don't know what they've gone through in their life to arrive at that place in their life. God has a plan for each and every one of our lives, and we need to learn to find that plan, and we need to learn to be content with that plan. Don't try to achieve somebody else's plan, but achieve your own plan. If you're not content today, ask God to give you contentment so you don't have to have this party atmosphere going on. I lived next door to people one time, and I enjoy sitting on my porch and relaxing, okay? My neighbors did not. They would plant plants in the front of the house under a tree, and it wasn't a week later that I saw them digging up those plants, and I'd say, "What are you guys doing with your plants?" And they said, "Well, we want to move them to the back of the house." And this always went on. The moving of the plants, the moving of the bird houses, the moving of something. It exhausted me to sit out on my front porch and watch them. I had to go in the house. But it's a lack of contentment. You're always trying to one-up. Well, it'll look better like this. It'll look better. And those of you that are fans of HDTV, you know you can't be happy unless you have granite countertops. How could you? Or quartz. And if you live in a home without the open concept, you're miserable. I know you're miserable. But isn't that the truth? We buy into what we see on TV. I'm going to be redecorating my house in January, so this may all be coming back to me pretty soon. The last reason I want to share with you is worry. We have the shoes of worry on. And I know that's difficult for a lot of people that worry about things. There's a wonderful scripture in Philippians that tells us not to worry about anything or to be anxious, but in every situation by prayer and petition, to present our requests to God. Present means to give our requests to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will fill your hearts and your minds with peace. A peace that transcends. It says that the Holy Spirit will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Do you know what that concept means, to have your heart and your mind guarded? I always picture these two little men with swords and shields in my mind. And anytime a bad thought comes or worry comes, those two little men are stabbing at it. and pushing it away and saying, get out of her life, go away. No, Chris isn't going to think about that. She's not going to worry about that. That's what it means. It's defensive and offensive to do whatever it takes to keep your mind and your heart in perfect peace. That's a gift. That's a gift of the Holy Spirit. But a lot of times, we choose not to pray. When I feel like I'm getting upset, especially when I'm in a church meeting, I just say a quick prayer and ask God if I'm supposed to pursue this point or not pursue this point. And most of the time, he says, no, don't pursue it, Chris. Don't pursue it. So much for all my good ideas. Jesus Christ has many names, as does God. And I mentioned this last week, the names of God. And one of those names is Prince of Peace. If you look at the word prince, it literally means the founder. If you look at the adjective, it means originating or beginning. All things start and end in Jesus Christ. That's why he's called the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the Prince of Peace of our life. How are we made ready? Well, when you get up in the morning, put on the shoes of peace. Invoke the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. Ask the Holy Spirit to guard your mind and to keep you in peace. Romans 14 tells us to pursue peace. If I'm pursuing something, I am running after it. I want that in my life. You don't have to pursue contention and anger and hate. That's going to follow you and overtake you eventually in your life, but not peace. We need to make a conscious decision that we're either going to live for Jesus Christ or we're not. Let's pray. Most gracious and holy God, this gift of peace is the greatest thing you can give us. How it keeps us so we can rest at night. So we can encourage people. So when we do have trials and tragedies that just overcome us and consume us, we can say, like Spafford, it is well. It is well with my soul. I pray for each person here, perhaps that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior and hasn't made that first connection. They would simply come to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless you.